ora, I'm Jo Moyer. Welcome to Focus on Politics. Nobody can sum up this week's events better than the new Health Minister, Chris Hipkins.
Where to begin? Obviously,
we've had an escape, a leak, and a resignation, and that's just Friday. So let's rewind and try and make some sense of the week in politics. On Saturday, RNZ reported an investigation had been ordered into a massive privacy breach, with a leak revealing the personal details and identities of New Zealand's 18 active COVID cases. Here's political editor Jane Patterson.
RNZ has seen a document that includes the full names, addresses, ages and the names of the hotels and one hospital the people have been quarantining in. The State Services Commission has been brought in to get an investigation started. Mr Hipkins says there are several agencies potentially involved, but the source of the leak is still not clear. He says it's abhorrent if it's been done deliberately.
The idea that it's made its way into the public domain is something that I'm very, very angry about. It's just not okay.
He says criminal charges could result.
If there are remedies available to us to pursue somebody who has done, if somebody has done this maliciously, then we will certainly be exploring those.
National's Todd Muller says it's unacceptable.
Is it a deliberate leak or is it accidental? It doesn't really matter at a level. What points to is the fact it's loose, it's shabby, and it's just a reminder that these guys can't manage important things well.
Chris Hipkins has apologised to the people whose details were leaked, saying he'll get to the bottom of who was responsible and hold them to account.
By Monday, the hunt was on for the source of the massive privacy breach, with the government promising to leave no stone unturned. Here's more from Jane Patterson.
The Minister, Chris Hipkins, says the State Services Commission has started work with the relevant agencies
to identify what their record-keeping practices are, who has access to the information, how it came to be in the public domain. I want them to do that very thoroughly. I don't want them to leave any stone unturned in that.
Several agencies could be under scrutiny. Health, the All of Government Group, a unit within the Prime Minister's department, but also the hotels and other managed isolation and quarantine facilities. Data about those in quarantine is held in a number of different places, but the nature of some of the information leaked may help narrow down the search. The communications of potentially everyone involved could be trawled through as part of the inquiry. If found to be a malicious and deliberate leak, criminal charges could result.
If there are remedies available to us to pursue somebody who has done, if somebody has done this maliciously, then we will certainly be exploring those. This is not the sort of thing that I am willing to let go. I think that this is a major breach of trust and confidence, and it should be rigorously pursued.
Someone independent will be chosen to lead the inquiry. That decision will have to be made in the coming days. This investigation will be carried out as a matter of urgency, with the aim to have it done and dusted in weeks rather than months. Ministers will not only want to know exactly what happened, but will want a resolution before the election campaign.
On Monday afternoon, as expected, Chris Hipkins announced QC Michael Heron would be leading the investigation into the leak. But unbeknownst to the government and Mr Heron, National MP Hamish Walker had already confessed to his leader at lunchtime that it was him. The leader's office declined RNZ's request to speak to Mr Muller or any MP about an inquiry being launched, offering no reason as to why they'd gone from full-blown commentary to radio silence. By Tuesday, attention had turned away from the inquiry and back onto the government after it was announced that it agreed with Air New Zealand to put a freeze on bookings from New Zealanders wanting to return home. The hold would be for 3 weeks to take the pressure off managed isolation facilities. A fight had also broken out between Labour and New Zealand First over a new report saying the ports of Auckland would be better off moved to Manukau Harbour over New Zealand First's preferred option of Northland. But not to be outshone, just before 5:30pm, a flurry of statements started arriving in reporters' inboxes. The first from Hamish Walker, saying he was the leak. The second from Todd Muller, saying he wasn't happy about it. And the third from Michelle Bogue, the party's former party president, saying she'd given Mr Walker the leaked private information. Long story short, Ms Bogue said she'd received the information through her role as acting chief executive at the Auckland Rescue Helicopter Trust and hadn't intended for Mr Walker to pass it on to the media. Roll on Wednesday, and Morning Report's Corin Dan spoke with Todd Muller.
I wrote to the board last night expressing my concern over his behaviour, and I understand the board are meeting today.
So how does that work? Can the board make that decision, or does caucus need to vote on
that? These decisions are board decisions. As I say, they meet today. But, I mean, the broader point I want to make is his behaviour's completely unacceptable. That's why I stripped him of his portfolios and demoted immediately. And obviously the board will have their conversations today. This is not the National Party that I lead. It's not the culture that I expect to my team. And bluntly, there needs to be consequences.
In your view, is he fit to be an MP?
Well, ultimately, that's a board decision, but he's shown some serious lapses of judgment, very serious lapses of judgment over the last few days, and particularly with respect to leaking of personal information. And I think it is just totally inappropriate, and that no doubt will be weigh heavy on the board's decision.
When did you first learn that the source of this leak? Because about 4 days ago, you said the breach was quite staggering and unacceptable. It is a deliberate leak, or is it a deliberate leak, or is it an accidental? It doesn't really matter at a level. It's loose, it's shabby, and it's a reminder these guys can't manage important things well. You said that 4 days ago. When did you learn about the source of the leak?
I learnt on Monday lunchtime when Hamish Walker rang me. Then, of course, very quickly, the Prime Minister made public announcements with respect to the beginning of an inquiry. I then intended for that to be released at the time. I then received legal letters, if you like, from QC, who's acting for Hamish, which required me to test during the course of yesterday my legal position before I was very clear that I could and did ensure that that became public.
I spoke with Kim Hill shortly after that interview, who started by asking about Mr Muller's admission that Mr Walker had got a QC involved.
Hell of a bold play there from Hamish Walker, to be honest. So let's just look at how that sort of played out. Now, he obviously knew that he was the leak, Hamish Walker, when he found out this investigation was underway, decided he'd get all of his ducks in a row before he went and talked to his leader, Todd Muller. So, yeah, we understand from the leader that he brought that QC in. He worked out that there wasn't any sort of criminal liability from his end. And then he went and talked to Todd Muller about that. Now, that was at lunchtime on Monday. Now, of course, these statements didn't come out until sort of 5:30 on Tuesday. Big gap there. Todd Muller says he had to go and sort of respond to that legal advice and get his ducks in a row. Extraordinary, really, that Todd Muller got put in that situation and now is having to answer questions about why he delayed for so long making public that one of his MPs was involved, because he was tied up with a QC that his own MP had sent his way.
He was clearly, I mean, he's quite a deadpan sort of a bloke, Todd Muller, but he was clearly angry this morning, even though he had to say he was angry before we knew he was angry, actually.
Yeah, no, he did seem quite angry, and you would be, because let's actually think about the fact that all of this goes back to last week when Hamish Walker was actually in trouble, I guess, for making what was classed as racist comments by Megan Woods, the Minister in charge of isolation and quarantine.
This is by suggesting that people of certain origins should not be sent down his way.
Exactly. He put that press statement out, got into trouble. Todd Muller got asked about it. He spoke to Hamish Walker on Friday and reprimanded him for that. Now, Hamish Walker chose not at the time to divulge to his leader that he'd also sent information to three media organisations, and has left this over the weekend, which means that Todd Muller, Michael Woodhouse and Paul Goldsmith have all gone on the record saying things like shabby, unacceptable, and, you know, the government is terrible for letting this information out, having no clue that this inquiry that was about to get underway was hunting for their own MP.
So Walker's reason for releasing this information to various media outlets, including us, has varied. What reasons has he given thus far?
So when the interview that RNZ did with Hamish Walker took place, it was around those statements, around the statements about the country of origin that people were coming from. Now, at the time, a commitment was made to Hamish Walker that information he was going to pass on to RNZ would not be connected to him. It would be anonymous, that we would be able to go to Megan Woods and talk about this information and that we wouldn't connect him with it. Now, that commitment was made before RNZ saw what was sent. Obviously, we didn't anticipate being sent such a serious privacy breach. And so then basically we've got this situation where he's now put out a press statement saying that the reason that he passed on that information to media was that he wanted to expose the government's shortcomings so that they would be rectified. He said the information received was not password protected, it was not stored on a secure system where authorised people needed to log on, and there was no redaction to protect patient details. Now, that is very different to the conversation that RNZ had with him and how we came to have the information, which was basically him trying to explain the origin of these people that were going to potentially come down to his electorate. Very, very different circumstances here for the information. Todd Muller was asked about that by Corin this morning. He said, well, all I know is what Hamish Walker has told me. So there's real questions there about whether Hamish Walker even now has actually been upfront with his leader about his motives.
Is it valid for me to ask you whether the information that he released supports his original statements about the origin of the people that were being sent down to quarantine?
No, it didn't, no.
It did not support his claims?
No.
So then he had to change his reason. Good move. Michelle Bogue is still on the board, as far as we know, of the Auckland Rescue Helicopter Trust. She's resigned as acting chair, but she's still on the board?
Well, we don't know the answer to that yet, because the Auckland Rescue Helicopter Trust weren't particularly forthcoming when they were approached by RNZ last night. So we do know that she's resigned from their acting CEO role. There's also this complication, though, that she, in her statement yesterday, said that she received the information that she passed on to Hamish Walker via a private email address.
Yes.
Not her work address.
No.
So I presumably...
So is there another leaker?
Who knows, Kim? Who knows?
Well, hopefully Michael Herron will get to the bottom of that. But in the Machiavellian world of politics, Joe, will Michelle Bogue's career as a National Party fixer continue?
Hard to say. I mean, we did hear Todd Muller this morning say that he hasn't had any connection with Michelle Bogue. She wasn't involved in his leadership ruling of Simon Bridges.
Was she a supporter of Bridges?
Who knows? People say that they support people and then they vote different ways all the time. So I wouldn't want to be on record with the answer to that.
Right.
But, I mean, Todd Muller says he hasn't spoken to her in a long time. So what her involvement with the National Party currently is, well, it seems to be passing on information that shouldn't be passed on to backbench MPs.
Over the course of the next few hours, it was revealed Michelle Bogue had stood down from her electorate and campaign roles in National Deputy Leader Nikki Kaye's Auckland Central seat. And by midday, the National Party board was due to meet to discuss Mr Walker's future. That meeting had barely started, and news broke Mr Walker wasn't going to contest his seat at the election in September and would be leaving politics. Thursday kicked off with a bang. Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters was off to have surgery and would be out of action for the next week. By early afternoon, the government's fix-it minister, Megan Woods, was admitting there's no standard plan in place for what businesses should do if they come in contact with a possible COVID-19 case. The gaping hole in the system had been brought to light after a man absconded from an isolation hotel in Auckland and shopped at a CBD supermarket. He was later found to be COVID-19 positive. The Ministry of Health had been completely MIA during the whole incident that night and the next morning, leaving the supermarket to do everything off their own bat. Then Friday finally arrived. Sure enough, there was more to this story, and it arrived via an email from Michael Woodhouse, admitting he had been leaked stuff too.
It was demographic details about COVID cases.
A surprising revelation, considering up until Thursday, National leader Todd Muller was telling media the leaked information was a matter between Mr Walker and Ms Bogue.
No, look, that issue is sorted from my perspective.
He was asked again.
So Michelle Bogue has never mentioned or offered the starter to you or any other National MP?
Look, I have, that's from my perspective, that issue is concluded. She's made it very clear that there was a contact with Hamish.
But it appears that wasn't entirely true.
I first contacted Todd late on Tuesday night to inform him that there was some information that might be pertinent to the issues that were being discussed.
So now Michael Woodhouse can join the queue of people off to see QC Michael Heron. But it doesn't end there. To round off the week, National MP Zhang Yang decided to announce on Friday that he was quitting politics. The government didn't get a day off either. A third person had absconded from isolation, this time in Hamilton by cutting the fence wires. And what about Todd Muller? Well, he'll be looking forward to a cup of tea and a lie down. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Jo Moyer. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to listen to this program again, head to rnz.co.nz/focusonpolitics. Mā te wā.